You may be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, the Old Testament, to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews and spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, They shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, and everyone unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens with those that laded, every one with his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, and our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning until the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So whenever a good work goes forward, you might expect there will be opposition to it. What is the good work that's going forward? The building of the wall of Jerusalem. Why is the wall being built? We remember from last week, we said that the wall is being built to protect the worship of God. That the wall is there to fortify the city, that the worship of God may go forward without danger of being attacked by these enemies that have obviously surrounded themselves and arrayed themselves, not just against the Jews, but against their God. So their first strategy then was to mock and to discourage. To mock and to discourage. And notice that this mocking and discouragement is, if you will, contagious. First Sanballat, and then Tobiah the Ammonite chimes in. And of course, they had to say, they had some insulting things to say. And let us remember the wonder of it. We'll forget, won't we, unless we put a mind to remember it. These folks, just a few years ago, were captives in a foreign land. They came back to their land, a weak people, their houses torn down, burned with fire, perhaps inhabited with others, the city in such disarray that a mule could not or a donkey could not walk through it, all of these things. And so here they come back, a weak people that have set up encampments. They're staying in the middle of the city, only setting their outward garments aside long enough to bathe, and then putting those garments back on and going back to work as soon as they could. They are indeed a poor and weak people, and by all outward appearances, worthy of such ridicule. Yet the Lord is with them, and they have a leader who is mighty in moral courage, Nehemiah. And so let's remember that what Sanballat and Tobiah had to say, that this was part of that outward reasoning, that human reasoning that we heard about before. They looked at the Jews, and what did they look like? Did they look like a mighty people that will be able to build up this wall? No, they didn't look like that at all. They looked like an exercise in futility. But beloved, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The last verse of 1 Corinthians 15. And this is, if you will, Nehemiah's watchword here. Nehemiah then encourages them. So, what is Nehemiah's response to their discouragement? Well, it is an imprecatory prayer. You know what an imprecatory prayer is? Your psalm singers. That is, that he called curses down upon those who would discourage the people of God from their godly work. Now we know the mind of God upon those who would discourage the godly from their godly work. What is God's mind toward those who would discourage the godly from their godly work? It is that curses should come down upon them. And beloved, then, that helps us. That gives us proper warning, proper awareness, that we should never discourage a godly work. We should always encourage godly work, right? God's work done in God's way. We should always encourage that. And frankly, throughout the history of the church, we find that the holiest of saints, as a good example, taking their example also from the scripture, that they also saw God's work when it was done perhaps in not quite God's way. They encouraged it. They encouraged it in such a way that it might be brought under that umbrella of God's hand, of God's direction. And so, beloved, let us not discourage godly work. Let us encourage instead. Let us find something of value, something to encourage with, something that is good. All right, so then, so his first response then is to pray with an imprecatory prayer. What's the second response? Well, the second response is to a second movement. Because when the enemies of God saw that their ridicule, their discouragements weren't doing the job, then they said, okay, well, I guess we'll just have to attack them. Right. So we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, beloved. We're not ignorant of his devices. If we are set about on a good work to advance the worship of God, to advance the holiness of the church, the visible church, if we are about that kind of good work, we can expect, number one, ridicule, and number two, we can expect that they will begin to attack when that ridicule does not have its fruit that they expected. And so we'll be attacked. And so what happens? They conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. What is Nehemiah's response? The first response, once again, verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Okay, so prayer and feet to those prayers, right? That's what Nehemiah did. And we find that this is a pattern throughout Scripture, that when the people of God are set upon by their enemies, that the way that we ought to handle that is by prayer and feet. Not feet and prayer, but prayer and feet. Right? You remember what Hezekiah said. He prayed to the Lord that they would not be attacked by the Assyrians. And yet he also stopped up the water. He said, why should the Assyrians come and find water? Okay, prayer and feet. Right? So prayer and feet. And so Judah began also to discourage them. And so what do we see here also? That sometimes those outward discouragements and those outward threats can have their cumulative effect even on our brethren, such that they might want to give up and discourage as well. And we must not be discouraged in that. We are required, especially at such times, to be strong. And so Judah begins to waffle, as Margaret Thatcher once said, let's not go all wobbly here. And yet they were ready to do that. They were ready to go wobbly. They were ready to stop the building. In fact, they said to them 10 times, they're going to come and attack us. So therefore, verse 13, not only did they pray, but that's when they girded on their swords and their spears, and their shields, and their haversions. And they put all of that on, except they also did not lay down their trowel. They did not lay down their gloves. They did not lay down their work clothes. They reasoned rightly. This work is God's work. We will not be distracted from this work. We will see also that distraction is another strategy that is used later on by the enemies. Ridicule failed, attack failed because the Jews fortified themselves, and then let's see if we can distract them from the work. You see, this is just a list of Satan's devices, beloved. This is set forth in these very practical and historical terms for us that we might know those same devices today, and that we might fortify against them, the Lord helping us. So, notice what Nehemiah says. Be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So what does Nehemiah do? He prays, he fortifies, and he encourages. Whenever we are set about by the enemy, beloved, this is the pattern. We pray, we put feet to those prayers, we fortify, and we encourage each other rather than discouraging one another. You want to be successful in any godly labor? These are pattern circumstances that will help us in such cases. And so notice from that time forward, verse 16, that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them that held both the spears, the shields, the bows, the haversions, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, and they which builded the wall, and they that bare burdens, with those that laded, every one with his hands wrought, with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. So they adapted, and they encouraged. All right, so now in verses 19, 20, 21, we have some other strategy that Nehemiah wisely put into place. The first of those strategies is the guy that bore the trumpet, he stood by me. Now, why would that be? Why would he do that? Obviously, to prevent false alarms. That man would not blow the trumpet until he was commanded to blow the trumpet by the captain, by Nehemiah. Because false alarms can distract, can't they? And so he stood by me. And then he said to the nobles, we are separated one from another, so we must be ready at any time when we hear that trumpet blown to run to the sound of the trumpet to be of defense. That trumpet will be, you get the impression that it's circling the work, that Nehemiah is not holding still, that he's going back and forth upon that half wall that's built so far, halfway around the city. And so wherever there's an attack, the trumpet will be blown from there, and everyone should congeal there. What do we call that? We call that rallying. That we should rally to those of our brethren who are in trouble. Ooh, there's another point as to how we do a godly work. So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning until the stars appeared. Ooh, there's another point. Diligence. They got up in the morning and they worked until they could see the stars. They stayed at it diligently, right? And if we go to chapter 13, if we preempt a little bit and think about chapter 13, we're also going to remember that they refused to violate the Sabbath. Nehemiah was a Sabbath-keeping tirshatah. And so we can apply that. We can assume that as good and necessary consequence here, that they were not building 7 days a week, but that they were building from sunup to sundown 6 days a week. They showed that kind of diligence. And finally, that they were willing to bear hardship. There's another strategy. They were willing to bear hardship one for another and for this great work. They didn't go home at night. They didn't go home to their tents and the comforts of home. Instead, they stayed in the city and they did forbear to change their clothes. They only put them aside so that they could bathe. And then they put them back on, and we can assume that they did that in shifts so that they would not be caught all at once bathing. So there's just a lot of good understanding and analysis here regarding when the church sets about to do a good work. We must not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We must pray and fortify against them. We put feet to those prayers. We rally toward one another. We encourage each other. We are willing to bear hardship. And if the church will advance, we will need all of these things, beloved. I believe that sometimes we think that the church might go forward without any of these sacrifices and without any of this design here. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's good thinking. So Nehemiah shows us some wonderful scripture principles about how the church of Jesus Christ ought to go forth. Let's stand and continue praising God.